up, everybody? Welcome to episode 109 of the Rocket Punch Cast. I'm one of your hosts, as always, Cameron here. I'm joined by my Cape Crusader and birthday boy, Mr. Chris. What's going on, Chris?
It's going just fine, Cameron. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. So first and foremost, before you even get started, make sure if you're tuning in, throw a little happy birthday love towards Mr. Chris here. It is his birthday today. And we love that he's spending it with us here at Rocket Punch. Thank you so much.
Hey, I'm happy to be here. I've been, you know, dreading my birthday, but looking forward to today.
I know as we get older, you know, we have those concerns about, things start to hurt in different places. It gets a little harder to pick stuff up, you know. Stuff you always have to worry
about. You're hitting on all the positives about my birthday. I like this. This is good.
Good, good, good. Well, you know, that's what I do here. That's what friends are supposed to do.
Yeah.
But other than that, how's the week been for you? How's it treated you?
It's been good. It's been busy. We did a lot. We did a lot Rocket Punch wise. Did a lot my birthday wise, you know, trying to hook up with friends and family, make sure everybody had an opportunity to celebrate the fact that I'm old and and falling apart at the seams. So that's good. But yeah, you know, it was a good week. Not a whole lot necessarily to say. You know, I'm sure we got lots to talk about.
I was going to say, we'll talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil
specific
anything.
Specific stuff that we did this week, first and foremost. But if that's it, let's jump right into the show here, guys. Remember, if you did not know, this is the Rocket Punch Cast, where groups of friends from all across the globe come to this table right here, talk about video games into microphones. You can listen to us every Tuesday on your podcast service of choice. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. So all of our Spotify listeners as well, welcome. You can also watch us live as we record this show each and every week over at twitch.tv/rocketpunchlive every Sunday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are a little bit late for the episode this week just because it is your birthday. And
I feel like you're blaming me for the fact that this was poorly planned. Okay,
it's not you. As I told you before the show, it always happens. Anytime you plan to do something, especially go to a restaurant, you're always going to be late.
Always.
Because somehow they know that you're in a rush to do something. Then they're going to take a really long time on the food. It's not going to be right all the time.
It was not.
I told you and I called it.
You did.
I just want to know
Let
everybody know that I called
it. And yet earlier in one of these podcasts, you told me you don't have a crystal ball. And I say, shenanigans on that. You must. Prophet Cameron here. He knows what the deal is.
Do I not? Find out. Go over to Patreon, support us, find out. But also, guys, remember, if you want to know more, want to listen to more of the podcasts, view the streams, view the videos that we do here at Rocket Punch, make sure you head over to rocketpunchgo.com. It's going to be your one-stop shop for all things Rocket Punch and all the content that we do create for you guys. If you want to help support the show, you're loving what we're doing, want to help keep the lights on and the mics rolling, make sure you head over to patreon.com/rocketpunch. For as little as a dollar a month, you can help us keep the lights on and the mics rolling.
Or the lice. About the lice. I don't know what was about to happen there.
I can't have the lice there. And you'll be able to get some awesome, cool, exclusive content in the process for supporting us there. Speaking of Patreon, we do definitely want to give our weekly shout-outs, as we always do, to people that are in the top tier of our Patreon group. So definitely give a shout out to Chuck O'Brien and Jossie Moore. We thank you guys so much for all the support you've given us as well on Patreon, as well as everyone else who was on Patreon there. But make sure you, if you see those guys around, you know them, give them a little pat on the back. Thanks for supporting us here at Rocket Punch. Remember, if you're listening via audio, make sure to rate and review us here on your podcast service of choice. That does help our discoverability and gets us out to more ears. We love that so much. If you are watching us here on video on Twitch, make sure you click that heart at the top of your screen. Become a follower here for the channel. If you have a free Twitch Prime subscription, if you're an Amazon Prime member, want to throw us your free Twitch Prime sub, we would love that as well. We definitely appreciate that support as well. And also, guys, if you are looking for a community, want to hear us talk more about video games off mic and whatnot, make sure you head over to our Discord channel. We've thrown it up into the chat for you guys there. You can come join us, talk about video games and other such stuff. So it's definitely cool there. That's our housekeeping deal. Let's jump into our upcoming schedule. This is an interesting schedule we've got for this week.
Yeah, a little unique.
So we normally talk about our stream schedule here. That's what we're going to do. This upcoming Tuesday, for Top Shelf Tuesday, we're going to be jumping back into No Man's Sky next. There really isn't a huge release coming out lately, and that's still on people's mind. Mm-hmm, I think I'll talk about it a little bit later, but I think it got as high as number 6 in the Steam top concurrence charts.
Nice.
Like 5 or 6. But we're going to be jumping into some No Man's Sky, and specifically, we're going to be jumping into some multiplayer. I know definitely we've got, we're going to be jumping in with our good friend Seth, aka Darth Turner. He's got his own streaming channel as well. You definitely want to check him out over at twitch.tv/DarthTurner. But he's going to be joining me for some good old-fashioned No Man's Sky fun, goofing off in that world. And we're actually going to see if the multiplayer works, if I can actually see the other person, or if he's like a floating orb.
You can. Don't do that. Don't set people up for bad expectations.
It's
going to work great. You guys are going to have a great time.
You got to give them the hook there.
My goodness.
But other than that, guy, and Darth Turner is in chat, so make sure you say hi to him there if you guys are in there. Next up, Wednesday for Indy Avenue, what are we doing?
So we're going to jump back into Yooka-Laylee on Wednesday. Had a really good stream last week. Had a lot of people interested in what was going on. A lot of interest in the game. Game itself had a lot of fun playing it. So we're going to be doing a little bit more of that. Hopefully we can make some progress there on the campaign. Maybe actually be able to complete a game all the way through, which is something that we haven't been able to do on the channel in a while.
Hey, baby steps, man.
Yes. So we're going to do Yooka-Laylee. Be sure to stop by. Had a lot of fun with that one. Last week, and I'm sure it's only going to get even more fun this week. Watch out for quiz shows, though. Apparently, there's like a quiz mechanic in the game that like really throws for a loop. If you head over to our clips, Chuck O'B was nice enough to clip that out for us, and it was very unexpected. It ground the whole thing to a halt. Luckily, I passed it on the first time, but yeah, that's a thing.
That is interesting.
It was very interesting. And then as long as we're talking about me streaming games on the channel, on Thursday, we're going to be doing Tank and Spank Thursdays, also at 8 o'clock, and we will be also continuing some World of Warcraft.
Ooh.
Yeah, so we're bringing you guys some of the same titles again and again, but in World of Warcraft is another great example of one where we're going to be bringing you some new content. So there's weekly editions from here on out until August 14th, when the Battle for Azeroth drops on August 14th. That's what I meant to say. So this week is going to be the campaign for Burning of Teldrassil. So they will actually be doing the actual tree burning this week. It will be very exciting. They have not even released the cinematics or anything in regards to that. So nobody really knows who's responsible or how they became responsible for that situation. So it'll be nice to finally have the mystery unveiled to the world. And we're going to unveil it for you at twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive at 8 o'clock on Thursday.
Okay. Pretty excited about that. I'm also excited. An idea that I had that maybe we start doing a little bit more of for you guys here as well. For the first time in a really long time, I don't think we've ever actually had this many streams up in a week. We are actually going to have a fourth stream this week. This upcoming Friday, there was a game that I really wanted to play, definitely wanted to get out there. We're going to be doing what's called Bonus Round here at Rocket Punch Live here. It's a new stream. Not going to be concurrently every week, but something whenever we have a cool game we would definitely want to show off. Kind of a little surprise and a bonus for everyone out there tuning in over at twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive. But this Friday, we're going to be playing Earhart. The developers, Blind Flug Studios, were generous enough to give us a free code of the game here. So this Friday, we're going to be streaming that game and definitely checking it out. I'm excited. It looks very interesting.
The name?
Earhart.
Not Earhart. Who made it?
Blind Flug.
Flug?
F-L-U-G.
Weird.
It's one word. That's a studio name.
I mean, it's memorable.
You do you guys. But we're definitely going to be checking it out, so definitely make sure you don't miss that out. Rocket Punch Live bonus round this Friday. We're going to be streaming some Earhart, a cool little indie game. We'll definitely be checking out there.
I'm looking forward to having that in our arsenal here. That bonus round.
Bonus round?
Full disclosure, Cam came up with the idea earlier. He's like, actually, I had this cool thing I wanted to talk to you guys about. And I was like, I love it. I think the name is cool. I really dig the idea. You know, I think it'll be cool, especially because the spontaneity of it all. I think it's going to work out really good for Twitch as a platform for that, because it doesn't necessarily have to have a weekly schedule on it. I think it can just sit and live on its own sometimes. So, yeah, I'm digging it. I think that's going to be a fun one. I'm looking forward to watching it, that's for sure.
Most definitely. I'm typing, getting the social word out.
Look at you.
Look
at you being professional businessman.
When you're making content and whatnot here.
Business, business, business. Numbers, numbers. Is this working?
Well, I hope so. Fingers crossed. But that's our schedule, guys. Make sure you're following us here at twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive. If you haven't already, we've got everything up on our events section as well, so you'll know exactly when we're going live all week. Other than that, it's time for Table Talk. Woo. So, Chris, as we always like to do, what have you been playing, sir?
So, again, this was definitely another one of those weeks where mostly what I was playing was work-related. So, I put in some time on World of Warcraft, both on stream and outside of stream.
Okay.
Did the stream on Thursday, played the first part of the Burning of Tel'Drassil campaign. Okay. Got to the world quest spots and got some good gear and stuff like that. Interesting. Really scary. Played it from the Horde perspective, and Sylvanas was not taking nothing from nobody.
If you're playing from the Horde perspective, I understand if you're...
I found her to be very intimidating. I was like, she is just going to march on you. She had a very personal problem with Malfurion.
Okay.
She... It was just pushing forward the whole time. It was very crazy. Outside of that, though, I also got to level on my Alliance Hunter to get him up to 110.
Okay.
So that way I can be able to play the scenario from both sides. That's actually part of my plan this week when we stream the Tel'Drassil stuff, is to hopefully do it on the Horde side, see how it goes down, and then do it again on the Alliance side, all in the same stream. That's what we're gunning for. Yeah,
that'll be interesting.
Yeah, so Trish already has characters on both sides at 110. Ben has characters on both sides at 110, so I have to get my Hunter up, and then,
that'd be really cool to see.
It should be neat. Darth Turner in chat just says, she's evil, she being Sylvanas, and I want to believe there is more to the story. I want to believe that she's not actually evil, but she's not doing a great job of convincing me at this point.
Yeah, I would agree. At least from the little bit I've seen. I haven't actually finished the quest line. I've done a couple of the early stuff yet.
Like, if people had a problem with Garrosh, I don't see exactly how she is not also a problem.
Oh, really?
I mean, she's like, I'm going to take you out. Like, she has no qualms whatsoever. Like, she's not like, maybe involved. We should talk to Malfurion and see if we can calm him down. It's like, nope, get him out of the way. Don't have time for his crap.
Interesting. Okay.
So, yeah, scary game times. Outside of that, played some ukulele. Had some fun with that one. 3D platformer, for those of you who don't know, by Playtonic Games, was a Kickstarter game. A lot of people don't know what ukulele is. A lot of people stepped into chat going, what is this game? What are you playing?
Really?
Yeah, I had more confusion than I ever would have expected. I thought it was a pretty famous game. I thought
it's pretty popular.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of a big deal. You know, it's the makers of Banjo-Kazooie, former team members that put it together. It's very, like, you know, call back to that 90s era 3D platformer.
Check them real quick.
Call back to that 90s era 3D platformer, which is cool. I liked it. The only thing I would say, though, is it is a 90s era platformer in every way, shape, and form. So if you didn't enjoy the games before, you're probably not going to enjoy the games now. My thing was, in the original, like Banjo-Kazooie, I couldn't get past the graphics. I always liked the games, but the graphics were enough to take me out of the situation. Like, I couldn't get fully immersed. I couldn't enjoy it until the PS2 came out and you got games like Jak and Daxter and stuff like that. Like, I just couldn't get over the hurdle of three-dimensional platforming until the PS2 era. So
really,
yeah, personally,
that's interesting. Okay,
I just couldn't do it, and that's on me, you know, whatever. But I dig it. I think it's a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun playing it. I'm looking forward to streaming it again. I hope to, you know, finish this game. That would be great to get something out of my Steam library for once and for all. Because every time I sit down, I'm like, I'm gonna play this game. I'm gonna finish it. And I sit down, I put 4 hours in, and I'm like, that's done. That's basically the whole game, right? There's nothing else to see here. We're good. Move on to the next game.
I think that's how it works. No, I might be wrong.
It's got to be close. It's got to be close.
Anything else?
That's me. That was my week. Not a whole lot of gaming stuff. We got some other stuff here.
Oh, yeah, most
overall. Yeah, but I'm gonna save that. That was fun. I'm gonna wait. You do yours.
game. I played some. I continue to play Octopath Traveler. Game is fun. Check it out if you have not done so already. But the big thing that I played, of course, No Man's Sky next. That's the big thing I played Wednesday or Tuesday, and kind of giving my impressions on the update. If you missed the stream this past week, it's good. It's great. It's the game that I know, and I really believe that a lot of people wanted from this when it came out 2 years ago. Darth Turner, I know you're in chat. You'll agree with me on this comment. He had made the comment that it's out of early access now. And really kind of sitting back and thinking about it, that it, without seeing that label on there, it really kind of felt like that. The game felt more polished. It felt more complete than what it was before when it first launched. And it's kind of gotten to that step every update, every big update that we got. And so it's definitely something to see. I, number one, applaud No Man's Sky and Sean Murray and Hello Games and everything for continuing on with the updates. I think we talked about it last week. This could have been a game that could have died off and been nothing, and now they're actually doing a lot of stuff with
it. It definitely could have died off.
Yeah, most definitely.
You know, it definitely could have died off. I'm really surprised that they decided not to let it die off. With all the negative press that came out with that game and everything, like, I'm just so surprised that they were like, nope, we're going to double down, push even harder, and turn it into something that people really dig. I'm just surprised. I mean, it seems like it was a pretty decent business move, because now they're selling even more copies on platforms they weren't even available on before, like Xbox. That's true.
I mean, it's on Xbox now, so Xbox gamers are enjoying it. I picked it up on sale on Steam, even though, so I've got it on PC and PS4. I'm definitely liking the PS4 or the PC version. They're both great, but PC I can actually work on Rocket Punch stuff while I'm playing No Man's Sky because I'm a multitasker like that. But I mean, you start the game, and I started fresh since this was a huge update. Like, starting the game, the way they kind of lead you in to teach you how to actually play the game, which was never there to begin with. I mean, I remember when you started, it was kind of just like throwing you into the fire, like, good luck, here you go, maybe get some tool tips and whatnot to explain, but never like actually a guided path. But kind of the way they kind of teach you, one example was that you have to get a part for your ship as you're repairing your ship, but when you find it, it's like really far away. So you go over there, you find it, you get the part, boom, but then basically it doesn't show your ship back on the HUD. So you have to go, it teaches you how to make your analytic visor so you can find where your ship is and go back to it. It kind of shows you how you can scan the environment and see points of interest that you can go to. And that's a great tool that you use later on in the game. But, man, it's really cool. A lot more materials and minerals, combining them and how they work makes sense. Ships and whatnot look a whole lot better. I couldn't remember what the original ship looked like, so I went and saw a picture. Man, it looked horrible.
Yeah?
It looks so much better now. But still, that and what are the reason that the game kind of captured my eye was going off planet, going into space, that seamless transition from this huge planet up into space, and you're going in and doing all this crazy stuff was so awesome. Haven't gotten to the point of doing freighters yet or doing that high-level stuff, but I'm on that way. I just got my hyperdrive. In the game, because I played on PS4, then I jumped on the PC and had to catch back up. So I caught back up. I surpassed my PS4 save. I'm getting the hyperdrive. May have to leave my solar system because on PC, there's four planets and every planet had some type of hazard for some reason. And so I'm like, I got to get out of here. I need a nice, cool, grassy planet with these creatures and whatnot. Did not know. Apparently, you can feed the animals now.
Why?
Who knows? It's just, okay.
Cool.
Feed the animals. Here you go. But no, like, for a game like that, having a tutorial, I think, was definitely something that was missing from it.
Mm-hmm.
For as expansive as the world was supposed to be, to kind of throw you into the fire like that, it was like, what's happening? I'm overwhelmed. I'm not playing this game anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, done and done.
Now, we actually have some people in chat who may disagree with you. Looks like our boy Chuck O'Brien in chat says, I hate tutorials. Let me play the game. So, where do you fall on that, you know?
Do I hate tutorials?
Yeah.
Jumping into a tutorial thing, it is optional. It has to be in a game because when you play a new game, you can't just jump in blind and figure out. I mean, you can. That is a game development idea, but you will more than often than not push people away, in my opinion, instead of just having that some type of tutorial saying, hey, at least guiding them on the path. And sometimes tutorials aren't necessarily like text bubbles. True. They could be very much contextual and in the environment, kind of the way, you know, and tutorials like the way some games kind of steer you towards a particular objective.
Right.
In a sense like that. As far as tutorials in games, you didn't know they should be optional in case you want to jump in and you're just like, I don't care. You want to skip past it.
Yeah.
Looking at you, Pokemon. but it is something that I think is definitely integral in a lot of games. Just because you're jumping into a new game, you have no idea how to play this. And just for No Man's Sky specifically, how expansive it was. Like, I watched and read online, even some people that, like, they didn't like the game because every couple of minutes, as soon as they started the game, they would die, and they didn't understand why. So I think there's still some improvements that can be made on that tutorial for No Man's Sky, but even, like, imagine how it would have been if they didn't have a tutorial and they landed on some radiation-filled planet.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I have to have an optional tutorial. Apparently, Chuck is just super renegade, awesome at games guy. Because I have to have it. You know what I mean? I may play it. I may not. I mean, if it's a sequel or something like that, I'm not going to bother sitting through it. But if it's something that I've never played before, I hold my hand a little bit. Like, give me an hour. Give me 30 minutes. Give me a chance to grab onto something. Perfect
example is a game that we played this past weekend that we'll be showing off. I'm sure we'll talk about it in a second here.
Mm-hmm.
One of the criticisms I would put on that game is like,
yes.
There's a specific...
Yes, let's talk about it.
You want to talk about it?
Yeah.
Let's jump into the overall table talk. We went to Platforms for people who are in our kind of North Alabama area. Platforms is a gamer's cafe up in Nashville, Tennessee. And we went up there. It was really cool. A lot of VR spaces and slots. They had PC, top-end PC computers and consoles. You could play games all over the place in there. Really cool guys. Side note, there will be a creator spotlight of Platforms coming up soon. We've got the audio. We just have to do some post-production on the audio and a couple of other surprises.
Surprise.
With that there. So definitely stay tuned to your audio feed and to our social media for that as well. But one of the games we played was from a local game developer.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Chop It.
Yes.
Chop It, my opinion on it was like Parappa the Rappa meets Beat Saber.
Yeah, right?
That's what it felt like to me. It's basically you're this kind of like karate student and the sensei will start like throwing wood at you and you actually break the wood and... succession with the beat of the music that's being played.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool because it escalates. You get to a point where the sensei starts jumping all over the dojo to throw the wood at you and you have to kind of turn around because it's a VR game. Didn't mention that. It is VR only. But one of the things in that game is that he throws cement blocks on there. But the game, which is not hasn't even been released yet into Steam, so it's still being worked on, you didn't know. There was no like... The wood was pretty self-explanatory, but we couldn't tell if we were actually breaking the brick. Like, what goes on with the brick? How do we hit it? We hit it on the side, hit it on top. We were spending a lot of time trying to figure that out.
You got to play it, right? And you had cement blocks, and you weren't able to figure out what to do with them, right? Mm-hmm. And then we had another guy with us. His name's Stevie. Stevie did it. Same thing. He had the blocks. Didn't know what to do with them either. I got excited, right? I'm like, I'm going to be the first one to do the blocks. I'm so excited, right? But I picked a different song on the thing than either one of the ones you guys picked. I picked a different song because I was like tired of hearing the same song again and again. So I'm like, I got to pick something else. I can't handle this. So I picked a different song. Big mistake. Didn't get a cement block. No. Didn't even get to try to figure out how to conquer the cement block puzzle. I was so excited. I was like, you got to hit a button or something, right? You must have to hit a button in succession with hitting the block in order to somehow shatter the block. I didn't get the block, so I couldn't even figure it out.
And maybe
so.
It's just because it hasn't been put in the game yet.
Oh, I'm sure he knows. Either that or there's some tutorial that you're supposed to play when you first put it on. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to necessarily tell you later in the game what you need to do with the cement block, but there's either a tutorial that we didn't play, or they have to, you know, that's something that he hasn't put in the game yet and, you know, is something that you can look forward to. It's way too early to be able to say one way or another. He's a few months away from that game release, and so he's definitely got time to adjust that. But you're 100% right. When you guys were getting the cement blocks and you would hit them and it would just fall to the ground, I'm like, I was getting frustrated watching you guys. I'm like, shatter the block! What did we do? I don't know!
Well, you tried everything I could. Tried everything we could. I could think of, but again, without a tutorial, it wasn't. Weren't able to figure it out. But other than the game, how did you feel about platforms?
I loved it. I think the place is super cool. It was actually our second time running up to platforms.
Yes, it was.
So, you know, I was looking forward to getting another opportunity. The last time we went, we just went and saw the Overwatch League playoffs. Watched them, had a good time, but we didn't actually get to sit and game. We didn't get to play on any of the stuff. They had all this super cool equipment, and we didn't get to mess with any of it. And I was like, man, I'm craving it. I'm craving it. So this time we did, and man, had a blast.
We had a really good time.
Played some Overwatch. That was a blast.
Whole lot of fun.
Yeah, hanging out with we actually squatted up with six people at the cafe.
Yes,
which was really cool. Awesome. That was a really neat experience being able to do that. You can probably count that on one hand how many times you've had that chance. Like squatting up not only with six people that you knew, you know what I mean, but six people in the same room.
Yeah,
that was pretty intense, man. That was cool.
We were all on comms. We could hear each other talk and whatnot. It was great.
It was great. Call Me Shelton streamed the whole thing, which was kind of cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we got footage of that out there somewhere on the internet. We'll have to go make some clips, get it up there, of my terrible Overwatch skills. Him looking at me and then like shaking his mouse back and forth in a no formation as I like fell again and again.
But it was still good regardless. We had a lot of fun. We tried that VR game. Their kind of VR setup's pretty cool. There's more than enough space to actually
walk around, right?
In there.
That was wild.
And they are relatively new. I think they've only been open for about 2 months, so definitely excited to kind of see them progress. And like I said earlier at the top of that, if you want to know more about platforms, be on the lookout. We're going to have the Creator Spotlight feature for platforms coming at you as soon as we get done with the post-production on it. So we'll let you guys know. That being said, though, we're done with Table Talk. That's it.
That's
it's time. Drum roll on the table. You can hear it. Topic of the show. We're going to be jumping into our two topics we've got this evening for you guys here. Number one. You came up with this. I'm going to let you lead us into it here. That old Xbox.
That old Xbox, right?
Specifically Xbox Scarlet.
Mm.
Lead us in. Talk to us about this.
So for those of you who don't know, there's been a little bit of rumor action out there, a little info, little tidbits and pieces.
Nuggets.
That Microsoft may actually be working on another console. Who knew?
What?
Who knew, right? You would think after the power of the X came out, there would just be no need to ever upgrade again. I was under the impression that once you had the power of the X and the Microsoft Cloud, there was no stopping you. But apparently Microsoft said, we can do better than that. So Xbox Scarlet was not announced, I guess leaked.
Was it leaked, though?
It was probably one of those, I turned the hose on and off kind of leaks.
I'll say it wasn't leaked. It's a rumor right now.
Right.
It's pure rumor and speculation. Like, you know.
I don't know about pure.
A friend of a friend. I'm sure they've got enough credible stuff to say, probably, this is probably real. But it is a rumor at this point.
Right. So that is Xbox Scarlet with two T's for no apparent reason whatsoever. I don't know why they put two T's on it. That's why I'm led to believe that this is not a rumor. Like, somebody went through the access to go, we're putting two T's on that.
You've heard the, like, pre-release names for some of these consoles.
They're always better than the actual name, in my opinion. The Nintendo Dolphin would have been amazing.
That would have been weird.
Yep. The Scorpio was going to be amazing.
Scorpio was cool.
Project Dream, also going to be amazing. What was that? I think it was PS2, right?
Oh, man, I don't remember.
I think it was. Okay. So, yeah. So, Xbox Scarlet kind of sort of announced, right? And the interesting aspect, the really thing that got everybody talking about it, is there's a very strong possibility it is not actually one console, but two consoles.
Okay.
And not two consoles in a sense of one with a 500 gig hard drive and one with a 2 terabyte hard drive.
Oh, man, but I love those.
But rather two completely separate beasts. You'll have one, which is your traditional form factor, all the hardware you could possibly imagine in one box, bringing you all the Ks and the Ps onto your TV.
Those
you
are
know,
important.
You know, all the things that we as gamers look forward to, and we're like, get me in there, I need to know what's driving that beast. And then the other one, which is the one that people are actually, like, discussing, which is probably what we're going to be discussing, is the world of cloud computing. Apparently, it's a box, but, like, barely a box, like, a very small box. An envelope, if you will.
I haven't heard anything about size.
Yes, so. And the assumption would be it would be much smaller because it's basically hollow. There's not a whole lot of actual hardware inside of it, but rather the intent is to connect it to the internet and have the power of the Microsoft Cloud bring you all the K's and P's through your Ethernet line. It is a primarily streaming console where all of the work is done off-site. All of the graphic processing and computing and all that kind of jazz is done somewhere else. And then that information is then beamed into your house where you can actually see your amazing picture on your super nice high-end, you know, 4K televisions and all that kind of stuff. And that is obviously a huge difference than what we are used to here in the gaming world. You know, I think it's going to be quite a departure, and I'm not sure if it's for the good or the bad. I think that's what we're about to discuss.
Sea of Soul says in chat, well, since I'm starting to get into Unreal Engine, maybe I can have a launch title in 2020 on Scarlet.
Yes.
Maybe, possibly. You know, hey, please do live that. The dream is all I can tell
that
you there.
I would buy it. I mean, I'm saying that. Like, if you did it, we would buy the console, and then we would play your game on launch week. Just saying.
And so some of the questions we have here for this topic, will having a cloud-based version of the console for Xbox help it to compete against Sony next generation? What would you have to see in order to choose the cloud-based version over kind of the full touted hardware version of whatever Scarlet is? And could the idea of having a full version and an inexpensive cloud version actually play against Microsoft if it came to that?
Mm.
So let's discuss. My thoughts. Number one, this is cool. It's interesting, and it's something consumers, at least from my experience, consumers tend to be very, very accepting of choice. When you give them options that have, you know, can provide similar performances, but, you know, there are give and takes for each one, people like that. They can choose, oh, I want to save some money, so I'm going to go with option B. Oh, no, I want the best of the best. I got money to burn. Going to go with option A. And so I think that in having these two different versions, I think it's going to be really interesting how it plays out. I don't know if I'm going to say if I have concerns. The concerns I would have would be, and as just, I think this is just a gamer thing in general, because gamers talk about this is parody. Like,
yes.
you're gonna come in here and you're gonna talk and say, like, okay, so you've got the big dog, then you've got the streaming version. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I going to be able to play the same game on both of these systems? Are games going to be split? Mm-hmm. Am I going to get the same quality? What's in it? The big questions to ask for the streaming cloud device. What's the lag going to look like? What do I have to hook it up to? Is it going to have to be Ethernet? What does wireless look like? Because there are some people that you've got your router on one end of the house, you got your TV and your Xbox on the other side of the house.
Right.
So there's a minute questions that are going to be playing in there, though. But I think that having the options, and if you provide the right information to people, is going to more often than not turn out beneficial. Or beneficially.
I mean, you know, I want to... To me, like, okay, and I'm kind of upset that, you know what, Darth Turner, I'm calling you out. You left my stream to go stream your own game, and I don't appreciate it. Because I needed to talk to you about this. Wow. When I saw you were in chat, I was very excited. Somebody clip this out and send this to him, because I need him to know...
We'll do it.
...that I am personally frustrated with you, because you were going to back me up on this, okay? For me, I'm so excited. I'm so excited about it. And you know what? You want to know why? Because Microsoft, in my opinion, and I think a lot of people, if you look back and you actually look at the way that you reacted to the original Xbox, Microsoft had a huge hand in changing the direction of console gaming. When the Xbox came out, right? Think back to the early aughts, right? You got your Microsoft Xbox has either come out or is on the horizon, right? And you're looking at it and you're going, what is Microsoft going to do to the gaming space? You know what I mean? Microsoft is hardcore PC. You know what I mean? They're 100% in the PC space. Here you come trying to jump into the arena with things like PlayStation and Nintendo. How in the world are you going to be able to keep up? And Microsoft took that challenge and came out with a console that was not only incredibly powerful, but also came out with things like Xbox Live. You know,
that was a big one.
Like it was not an add-on that you had to buy for the console, right? It came with an Ethernet connection and not a dial-up nonsensical modem like they eventually bolted on the back of your PlayStation 2. Okay, this is an Ethernet wired connection for your Xbox to be able to go online and play with people. It came packaged with a headset because they knew that this was the direction that gaming was headed, that this is where you needed to be, was online playing with people, downloading updates, all of that. So in addition to that, we're putting a hard drive in so you can have a place to save your games. You're not going to have to buy a separate memory card. You're going to come in, have all this extra stuff. You're going to be able to download updates for your games. I remember I was so excited about the concept of being able to do that. Like, I was looking at things like Madden, thinking to myself, Madden's never going to have to release another game. They'll be able to just make one game and have it last for like 4 or 5 years at a time while they just update rosters through the internet.
I don't know why they haven't done that
yet. My mind was being blown, right? I'm just like, how in the world is this thing going to exist? Like, this is such a crazy concept. Console comes out, it's a monster beast compared to the PS2. You know what I mean? It's got all this crazy extra technology in it. It introduced us to the idea of being able to play online and made it part of the experience. It was not an add-on. It was right from the get-go, from the ground up. It was built with that idea in mind. Sure. So in terms of this Xbox Scarlett, I look at this and I look at old Microsoft. I look at Microsoft looking at the gaming space and going, how can we shake things up? How can we make it different? How can we change things for the better? How can we set things up in such a way that it puts us back on top? And I look at this idea of a streaming box and go, they must have something. They must have something up their sleeve.
A lot of video game developers have been talking lately about like the next iteration in gaming is going to be streaming.
Mm-hmm.
As we get faster internet there. Velkus, and maybe a counter argument as well. Velkus in Twitch chat also says Microsoft is also very capable of destroying anything they touch. They love to find ways to botch everything. I will definitely say on that note, everyone finds a way to botch everything. Xbox One launch, PlayStation 3 launch, you know, PlayStation 3 network
like just the other day. Outage.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the great PS3 network outage.
And yet here we are, and they still 2000s. Haven't figured it out.
They always have an outage every once in a while. But, like, not even just beholden to Microsoft, everybody can find ways to screw their stuff up. Velkis also asked the question, how do you feel Scarlet is different than NVIDIA Shield Cloud Gaming? I don't know if you've... know much about the NVIDIA Shield. I know a little bit.
I mean,
about
I've
it.
Never owned an NVIDIA Shield, but I know of it. I know how it works. I know about the cloud gaming, this, that, and the other. The difference is money. You know what I mean? Microsoft's got the money, man. Like, NVIDIA, as great as you are, you did not market it like a competitor to your PlayStations and your Xboxes. It was more of an alternative to a PlayStation and Xbox. And Microsoft's going to be marketing this as the next Xbox experience. So all of their marketing team, all of their money, all of their technology departments, their cloud platforms, all of this stuff is going to be coming in and putting a bum rush on this idea of the Scarlet, you know, streaming console. They're not going to put just, it's not going to be a side project. You know what I mean? They're going to be coming at it with their full force, where NVIDIA was looking at the Shield like, you could also try this.
But that, counter argument to that, it does bring up a point about cloud and streaming, because, I guess it's part of tossing it in here now, PlayStation Now.
Mm-hmm.
PlayStation Now, is, for people who don't know, is a streaming game service PlayStation has. It was right before Xbox Game Pass came out, to where it's basically like Xbox PlayStation's version of Game Pass, but, well, with Game Pass, while you can download it directly to your console, PlayStation Now was just pure streaming. You stream, pipe the game directly to mm-hmm. your system.
Mm-hmm.
And that came out to lackluster demand for that service.
But what did they have on it, Cameron? Wasn't it all just old titles?
No, it was their entire place. Sony used that as their kind of back, say back compatible wise, but they initially came out as PS3. A lot of their huge right. PS3 library. They've added, I think, PS2 games and also some PS4 games on there as well currently. I think there's like thousands of games. It's a huge library. I don't know much about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I talk about the point as well to like why. Is it something where Microsoft is going to look at PlayStation Now and learn from that? Because gamers were not necessarily just because it's PlayStation Now, but just the fact of streaming games had problems with it. That's why they celebrated from the rooftops when Xbox came out with Game Pass so hard. So, if it, you know, depending on, it will say if Scarlet is true, it comes out in the next few years. Is there going to be that big of a change in the next couple of years from PlayStation Now to when Xbox Scarlet, this cloud streaming box, comes out, to where gamers are going to be more accepting of taking that, oh, I can stream the game and that'll be great? Because they're still going to be, there could still potentially, and I think there still will be, concerns about lag input on the controller.
Yeah.
About, and it's the big one we've talked about before in the past, and we have to talk about here, is like network stability.
Yeah.
It's like, who's going to buy this? It's going to depend on how well your network is. So if you're in San Francisco, your network's probably fine. But if you're in Kansas, I don't know, it may not be as robust, in which case
Well, you can't even say that, because we live in Alabama and we got fiber coming out our ears.
Go to the Midwest, apparently it's not that good. But it... But, like, what I guess the question I propose to you, what your thoughts are, is that do you think there's going to be enough of a change from how the reception of PlayStation Now was that people are going to see this box and be like, yeah, and especially with Game Pass in the mix as well?
So here's my thing, right? I see what you're saying, and it kind of takes me into the next question or whatever. What would you have to see in order to choose the cloud-based version over the full experience, mm-hmm. right? The full, you know, normal version that you would be seeing from what we currently have.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, though. First and foremost, the PlayStation Now was developed after the PS4 already existed. It was almost like a sidebar conversation of, we also have the ability for you to do blah, 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 blah. Like, it was not developed with that in mind. There have been rumors that some of the hardware that is included for this smaller version box, whatever, will actually have things like possibly a CPU on board, and that the graphics processing would be done in the cloud, but that the CPU processing would be done locally, so that way you could minimize the amount of input lag. So I know that's something that I think Digital Foundry was tossing around as a possibility. Also, with the idea of it being from the inception of the console, that this was something that they were going to gun toward, I think that you can't necessarily compare it to PlayStation now. I think that the idea is going to be that they would not have pursued this if it wasn't a viable option. I'm sure that they see what happened with PlayStation Now. I'm sure that also went into all of the decisions that they made with Xbox Game Pass. And in that same respect, because of the fact that they were aware of what happened with PlayStation Now before they put out Game Pass, I'm sure that when they put out Game Pass, they were aware of how they were going to plan out this idea with Scarlett and how they were going to fix all of the problems of PlayStation Now and turn streaming into a viable idea. It's obviously too early to tell. You know, I mean, we're at that stage where everything's a rumor and they haven't given us any specs whatsoever. So there's no telling if this is going to work or not. But my idea is if they had the wherewithal when they made Game Pass to put the game downloaded directly to the console in order to minimize lag, my idea is that same team or a very related team is aware that that's an issue that they need to make sure is shored up before they go putting out the Scarlet. In terms of what I would like to see, you know, that is number one. What I'd really like to see is they come out, they do it some sort of unveil party at E3 or at their own, you know, Microsoft related event. They show off the hardware to people. They have people go and play it and experience it. And then at the end, they just mic drop and go, by the way, you were all playing on streaming platforms. You know what I mean? Wait until all the positivity comes through and then be like, by the way, just so you know, none of you were playing on the actual hardware. You were all playing on a streaming cloud-based system.
That could potentially happen, but when you... I don't know. I don't see it being as accepted and widespread as some people may think. With even if you take that analogy, in my eyes from what I'm seeing right now, even if you take that option and that opinion of like Microsoft comes out and says you've all been playing on a Microsoft platform, or on a streaming platform, you think about where they're going to have that. Let's say, and I think that's almost the standard at this point moving forward with latest technology from Microsoft, it's got to be 4K.
Yeah.
With the Xbox One X, it's got to be 4K.
It's
so if you're running on a streaming platform, that means you're going to have a ton of data being streamed directly down to this box, which isn't necessarily impossible, but again, I think journalists and other video game enthusiasts are going to be immediately questioning and talking about this point. Is like, they're in San Francisco, they're in LA, they're in New York, or wherever it is where the internet is quite robust. They're on some T1 line at the, because I've been watching Overwatch League, at the Barclays Center or something like that, or the some place like that, and journalists are going to immediately question, okay, cool, you showed us at this press event where everything is completely tailored to making sure this is going to run, because that's anybody, not just Microsoft, but mm-hmm. like how it's going to run at its best. But the question's still going to be, how is it going to run at my home? I don't have a T1 line. This person, I don't even have a gigabit line. I've got pretty robust internet. I can stream very well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how is that going to work in my house? I have other concerns as well that gamers are going to have general concerns about is just input lag. No way you get rid of input lag completely. Like, maybe not in our lifetime.
But there's input lag even now using Bluetooth controllers.
Well,
it's negligible.
The concern and what has always been the concern about gamers as far as input lag is when you start playing these Twitch shooters, Call of Duty, Battlefield, all these first-person shooters.
And if you're going pro, then you're going to want the full-fat console experience. Microsoft is not stupid. I guarantee you they will be having two versions of this console. They would not put all of their eggs into one basket.
And that's what I'm talking about, and I think that why it won't... My initial thoughts, the stream... Like, my thoughts on Project Scarlet, if these rumors are true, is that... Having the streaming box is going to be cool. It's going to be something new. It's going to be something unique that shakes up the industry. Even in the next 3 to 4 years, I don't see many people buying that console. The Xbox, whatever the top dog is, that's still going to be the moneymaker and the seller. You're still very much almost in a sense of the how it plays with the Xbox One and the Xbox One X. Where the Xbox One X is... there, and it's available if you want it, but it is not your dollar moneymaker. Your Xbox One S is. And I think purely because I don't think from, especially in, because we are, the hardcore gaming network, I still think, and I think they still will be, I'm pulling my crystal ball again, I still think they're going to be quite nervous and skittish of streaming technologies and streaming their games with the input lag and like the network reliability. I don't think they'll be as skittish as we were when in 2013 when the Xbox One was announced and they talked about Always Online, which again, that not going to delve on that topic too much, but that is another point as well. Not necessarily, I don't think they'll put the Always Online stuff in there, but with Soldiers and whatnot, that, you know, that was a big thing for the 2013 when the Xbox came out. They said Always Online, and you had a lot of people overseas, especially soldiers in Afghanistan, that played on Xbox. And they're like, I can't get this box. You know, I don't have unreliable internet. But I think that's why you're going to see, too, is because it's basically, it's Microsoft's nice way of what Microsoft and Sony have said in the past. It's like, oh, don't want this box? Get the other one. You'll have to spend a little bit more money, but I think that my envision of Project Scarlet, the streaming box version, is probably not going to have a, because rumors have talked about it being less. I don't think we've talked about that much, is that it's going to be cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't necessarily have to say that, though. Like, if it was the same price, we're all going with the big one. That's silly.
Yeah, most definitely. But it, like, I don't see it having a Blu-ray drive or any type of optical drive.
It won't have a drive.
It'll take that off. Nope. It will have some type of, it'll have a CPU, of course. I mean, streaming technologies as well. That's one way they've tried reducing lag, which you mentioned earlier, as far as rendering the game on a cloud server and then pumping it down, and you only have a CPU to worry about on your local device. It's going to have some small amount of local storage, likely solid state, so that it could cache files and whatnot that are on your system. And also, it would be really smart as well to kind of cache, so, like, keep data stored locally, so if you play a game a lot, you can always have the data available to you as well. My impression is not that it's a bad idea or it's horrible or it's going to do poorly, but I think realistically, from my point of view, it's going to be very, very cool, cutting edge tech that will still be under the shadow of its big brother.
We'll see. I'm not so sure. So let's flesh out this question a little bit more. What would you have to see in order to choose the cloud-based version of the full over the full experience? If there was something, if you were contemplating both of them, say maybe it's a price tag, you know, in your mind that would be the difference, or maybe it's a particular piece of the technology that's the difference, or maybe it's an amalgamation of all of that. Is there something that they could do where you would go, you know what, I want it, but I can't afford it, so I'm going to go with this other version because it does X, Y, and Z as good or better or whatever. Is there anything in particular that would make you go, that's not as inferior as I would have thought it was going to be? I think I'll save the extra money and take that one.
Yeah, me personally, it would not. I don't know if I could answer that question, because I don't like knowing Microsoft. If it's being streamed at 4K and 60 frames, I don't have a problem with it. I could integrate into my system right now, because as a hardcore gamer, I have a PlayStation 4. I've got an Xbox. I got a Switch. I got a PC with a 1080 card in it. So I have a lot of different options that I could use to play that. So if that's presented to me, and if the specs are right, and everything, you know, if it's what I already envision it to be, I have very reliable internet, and I can easily, I don't even have gigabit, but I have I think it's 600 megabytes down here at my house currently. I could get a gigabit if I wanted to. That's not a problem. I wouldn't have a problem if they showed very reduced input lag. I could say, okay, I don't worry about it. Because the other thing as well is, like, for a lot of Twitch stuff like that, Twitch shooters and things like that, I play it on my computer, play it on the PlayStation.
I hear you.
It wouldn't matter.
So to me, it sounds like you just built up a whole thing about the other one being the mainstay, and yet it sounds like you are very open to the idea of this thing being a real deal. Because I'm right with you on that second part. I'm like, if you show me 4K, 60 frames per second gaming with ridiculously close to realistic, you know, type of situation, and that it's just for the hardcore who need to have that Twitch shooter mentality. I don't put enough hours into any game to have that kind of reflex. I just don't. I constantly am flipping from game to game. So for me to save, let's say, for me it would probably be at least $150, probably closer to $200. I would need to be able to save $150 to $200 to be able to consider it. If it was $100 or less, I'll get the full experience. I'll buy the full fat one. But if you're talking $150, I might consider it. If you talk $200, hands down, I'm probably picking the other one up. Unless, you know, and obviously I'm going to wait for Digital Foundry to do their whole thing on it. And with the way Microsoft unveiled the Xbox One X, where Digital Foundry was like hand in hand with them about the whole thing and showing off all of the different specs inside, I guarantee you Digital Foundry is going to have their hands on this before anybody else, and they come out, and if that guy tells me, I don't know what his name is, but you know who I'm talking about, if he comes out and says, actually,
in his lovely British accent, yes, European actually, accent,
I would go with the cheaper one. I'd be like, you got it, bro. I trust you heart and soul. You got me. I'm going with the cheaper one.
Like, my point's being said, like, as far as the argument, playing a little bit devil's advocate on there earlier, is that is looking at it from a large macro stance and kind of just taking the pulse of the gaming industry as a whole and what feelings have been on streaming services here. When asking the question directly to me about, like, what would I choose, it's hard for me to say, because I am one of the people that has very strong, reliable internet. Mm-hmm. I don't have multiple choices, but I can get gigabit here if I want to. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I've got God only knows how many devices are hooked up in this house right now. I have devices hooked up here, so I don't have a problem with streaming that stuff. And so, but that being said, if it's what I envision and it comes down to it, I'm likely going to get the bigger box, having the extra other little, you know, and it does depend on price, what that gap is going to be. Mm-hmm. If it's something like significantly cheaper, that's when you start questioning, But if it's like $100 gap, okay,
yeah, $100. Like, at $100, you better, like, you gotta, like, do better.
In between, like, the Xbox 360 and the 360S that had, like, the bigger hard drive, mm-hmm. was $100 different. Like, get the 100, yeah. Get the freaking 120 gig drive and just go with the flow. But to answer that question, it's hard for me to answer. It's just a toss up. I'd have to know more information, but I am in a comfortable place, not like most people, but not like every person that, we can do that.
Right.
I can do that.
Let's hit up some of these chat questions here. Platform Switch, which I believe is our bestest friends in the whole wide world over at Platforms.
What up?
They say, what effect will it have on Twitch streaming?
That is a good point.
Question, that right? I would think point. That a streaming box couldn't do both, right? I would think that that would be very tough.
It would be very tough, and especially that lag question comes into play because in theory, we're walking into a really gray area here, but if it's like what we hear rumor-wise, the game would be streamed directly to your box, and then you would take it and stream it directly to the Twitch servers, which, you know, you run into stuff like lag, mm-hmm. potentially frame rate issues as well. And even if, you know, if Microsoft came up with some QC, well, like, the game will just stream directly to your Twitch account on your Twitch server instead of your box.
Wouldn't it be wild if it did, if it somehow went to the cloud and then went from the cloud and to your TV simultaneously? So that way you didn't actually have a lag and it was able to shoot straight to Twitch from the cloud servers.
It didn't have to come to your house ever.
You know what I mean? It only went to your house for your controller inputs. It didn't have to come back out of your house to go to Twitch.
And that's what I'm talking about there.
That would be wild.
They would have to figure out a way if they wanted to try and reduce input lag. Because especially when you're stretching it out that much, you're going to have lag.
Yeah.
You're going to have problems connection-wise just because based on today's technology, that is purely what you're going to run into.
It's true.
So that's
interesting.
The platform Switch, that's one of the big concerns as far as Twitch streaming that this Project Scarlet Box, I think, would have.
All right. Now here's a question for you, right?
Okay.
So the last one I have on here is, could the idea of having a full version and inexpensive cloud version actually play against Microsoft somehow? So could you see a situation where having these two options somehow does some sort of detriment and actually puts them in a worse position against Sony? Because, you know, the whole point of doing this is to put you up against Sony. It's not to compete with yourself. It's definitely to go up against Sony.
I said at the top of this topic, customers like options.
Yeah.
They love it. If you give them one particular choice and they don't, there's something they don't like about that choice, customers and people and consumers in general just jump on it, in my opinion. If you give them options, then they're less likely to be upset, and they themselves take in their consideration, like, what do I want? If I get this, I'm going to sacrifice this, but if I get this, I'm going to sacrifice this. And they balance their pros and cons, and they make the choice that's best for them, as opposed to if it's one box, I really don't need that terabyte hard drive. I wish it were 500 gig
mm-hmm.
so that I could save maybe $50, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. It's a 500 gig hard drive. Man, I would have paid $100 extra to get the terabyte drive.
Mm-hmm.
And again, a choice and options there. The other reason I don't think it's going to matter, and as far as like hurting Microsoft as well, is simply because that piggybacks on the options there. If you don't like it, you will get the bigger one. And if the bigger one is similarly priced to what consoles currently are now, most gamers and consumers will not care. And it'll be another day in the office for them.
Now, here's where I get to play devil's advocate. Because when I put the question up, I already had an answer in mind for this. So let's see how you react on this. Let's say the thing comes out, right? They unveil it. And they've got one console that hits 4K at 60 with every little bit of information you could possibly imagine, right? And then the streaming box is 1080p at 60. Does it concern you that they may have to pare down their games that they're developing in the hopes that it will work properly with the Scarlett?
Like their games?
Yeah.
Their games will... I would assume that there's already technology in place to have them like super simple down.
But do you think everybody would assume that though? Or would they be concerned that there's a possibility that Microsoft may have to play down to this less powerful console that they have in order to make them both work correctly?
You mean like have both of them at 1080?
No, not necessarily, but like when you develop the game, you and I would have an idea that yes, that the game would somehow be 4K in their servers, but they're only able to shoot out 1080p, you know, to your house or whatever. There's a possibility that either that's not true, or that some people may not perceive it as true and may instead think that Microsoft has to somehow take their game and downgrade it somewhat in order to be able to both operate on the faster hardware and also be able to pump out the correct, you know, timing, frame timing or whatever to work on this other version.
I think if it's what you're talking about, I think, and I may be completely wrong on this, I think that Microsoft already does that with the Xbox One X when they talked about some of their games. Like if you have a game that isn't natively like 4K, they super sample it or do some sampling to make it look crisper.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you, for one of the big kind of talking points for the Xbox One X when it came out was, well, what if I don't have a 4K TV? They'll say, oh, well, we'll take the 4K image, downgrade it, super sample it down, so you'll still get that crisp fidelity, but it'll be 1080p and not mm-hmm. 4K. So if I'm understanding you right in that, and that's the thinking, I think that technology is already there.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is going to be, and again, I said it at the top of the show, if these two consoles are developed simultaneously and they are not at parity, I will refer to Velkus in chat in his comment, 1080 quote, and I quote, 1080p, I would never buy it. And like, that's what will happen. Will that hurt Microsoft? No. People will complain. You will have some people that, based on this rumor, like, oh, cheaper box, I'm going to save some money. And they see that and like, oh, that's crap, I've already got a 1080p box. They're going to simply say, go get the bigger box. Now, are they going to be mad that they have to spend the X amount of extra money to get the bigger box, to get the K's and the P's? Yes. But in the longer scheme of things, it will not be as bad as some might think. It won't be nearly as bad, in my opinion, as the Xbox One launch debacle and the whole thing like that. But there, it's, they won't do that. I will guarantee you they won't.
You say that, but we're not there yet. I'm throwing it out there as a possibility that this could be an issue.
It's my thinking on they would never do that is simply because of their experience with the Xbox One.
They would do that. I'm just saying my fear is that it could be a thing to worry about. The same way, you know, the last can of worms I'm going to open up here is it's another large one. I don't want this to run on forever. Chuck in chat here says, so you guys were saying that you didn't know whether or not it was possible. Look at World of Warcraft or any MMO. The world and the mobs are on the server, not on your computer. The server is sending you the information, accepting your key/controller inputs. All the computer does is display the graphics. If a company has 3D models and or images sent to your Scarlet when you load up, it should be able to run the game off of a cloud. And he is 100% right there. But my concern is World of Warcraft is designed that way. So the issue would be like in Assassin's Creed, where you have the game has to run on your PlayStation and on this Xbox Scarlet nonsense computer, where the PlayStation, it just works, and the Xbox version, it's like, all right, well, like half the game is being done over here, and then the 30% of the game is being done over there, and then the last 20% of the game is being, like, are developers going to be okay with, like, this strange version where it's like, all right, well, if it's got to work on Scarlet, it's got to have, like, MMO light situations where part of the game's being processed here and part's being processed over there and things are having to meet up somewhere in the world of the internet.
They're going to have services trying to help combat that. Your point about money, mm-hmm. that's where that comes into play there. Mm-hmm. That's, CSL's comment in chat, that still doesn't 100% answer the question of Twitch shooters. Because World of Warcraft is not a Twitch shooter in no sense, form, or fashion.
Oh, I've had plenty of lag
and
wow.
Oh, yeah. So you're still going to run into that question that gamers are going to ask, what about my Call of Duty?
Mm-hmm.
And I pick on Call of Duty because Call of Duty is one of the biggest gaming properties in the world. Doesn't matter what console you play it on, people play Call of Duty.
It's true.
And so that is a game you have to be concerned about. If your box doesn't play Call of Duty well, you're in trouble. You're in a whole lot of trouble, my opinion. But some of these other comments are very, very good. Velkus in chat saying, NVIDIA Shield had to do 1080p 60 frames to get it to work via cloud.
Mm.
He also says, I would pay $500 for 4K before I would spend $200 for 1080p.
I wouldn't buy 1080p. Yeah. Like you could hand me the box for free and be like, just play the games. I'd be like, trash can. I'm sorry. I have no interest.
And that's why I don't think it will happen. I'm very certain that it won't, just because we are slowly moving past. By the time new consoles come out, we will be in the 4K
realm. Yeah, yeah.
Or it's 4K TVs are already cheap enough. You can grab, if you're not looking for top of the end stuff, you can easily pick one up for a few hundred dollars. Monitors are still a little expensive, but we're talking consoles here, so
yeah.
The barrier of entry, especially in 2020, is going to be very low.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we're done with topic number one, Xbox Scarlet and kind of what our thoughts are on that. What do you guys think, if you're listening in on your audio service or you're in Twitch chat, what do you guys think about Xbox Scarlet and the rumors? Do you think that a streaming box will be good for the industry, bad? What are pros and cons for it? Let us know there in Twitch chat or hit us up at Rocket Punch Go on Twitter or Facebook at Rocket Punch Network, wherever you find us on our social media services there. Next topic. For people who don't know, again, if you're joining us, topic number two, we're talking about gaming gifts. This topic came up because, of course, please go ahead if you're in chat. Give this man a nice happy birthday. It is his birthday today.
Listening on the podcast services, go ahead and throw it in Twitter too.
Yeah, send it at Twitter at RealCT Gaming. Throw a tweet over to Chris here and wish him a happy birthday, even if it's belated. But that being said, you came up with a really good topic about gaming gifts. This is our fun topic we like to do. Kind of memories and things that have happened to us about gaming gifts we have received. I'm going to go ahead and be honest. There are some stories I have of gifts that I've given. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely going to bring those in here.
But okay. Good one.
Gaming gifts in general,
mm-hmm.
That we're going to talk about. Nice. Just like kind of the stories behind there, maybe some great gifts we got, some not so great gifts we got, and kind of the stories behind those. So definitely, if you're listening via twitch.tv/rocketbunchlive, throw in chat and let us know what some of your memorable gaming-related gifts were in your life. But you go first.
Okay. So, all right, so let's start off with a weird one, right? So, this one here wasn't even a gift that I got, but I kind of got it, right? So, this is strange. On Father's Day, way back when I was a youngin'.
A youngling, as the kids like to say nowadays.
Yeah, I think that's still a term, right?
It is.
So, way back when, on Father's Day, somehow, my dad ended up getting a Sega Genesis for Father's Day. Either he wanted one or he wanted me to have one and needed an excuse to get me one. I'm not really sure how it worked out, but he wanted the Sega Genesis for Father's Day, and he got a Sega Genesis for Father's Day, which meant that I got access to his Sega Genesis.
Yeah. Is this what started you on the road to being a Sonic fanboy?
I mean, okay, so the initial time I ever saw Sonic was at my aunt's house. My cousin had a Sega, and he's playing Sonic 1 on the Sega, and okay. I got to check that out for the first time. And obviously, if you play Sonic against anything on the NES, like, you're talking night and day. There was just no comparison. You're jumping into a whole new world of blast processing, and it was the greatest thing in the entire world. So that was the first time that I was like, this is great. I love Sonic. I need this in my life. You know what I mean? But to actually have access to it, yes, this would be the time I finally had the chance to play Sonic. It was Sonic 1. This was the Beast system, the original Master System, you know, version. Cool. Not the Sega 2 or the Sega 3. This was the big, giant, wide console or whatever. And it was the greatest thing in the whole world, man. I'll never forget it. I to this day, remember Dad getting that for Father's Day, and I think back, and I'm like, he obviously got that for us. You know what I mean? Like my sister and I. That was his way of being able to get us access to that console without having to wait until Christmas. You know? And that was pretty cool. So, okay. You know, big shout-out to my dad, you know, doing that, you know, making it like, oh, thank you for my Father's Day gift, when it was obviously not his Father's Day gift. Like, my dad's a pretty cool guy.
Okay. A gaming gift that I remember, and this wasn't even a gift on a specific holiday, but it was my first introduction to PlayStation.
Okay.
When my parents got divorced, my dad still lived in town. He lived across town. So
okay.
Of course, we would go there every other weekend and stay with him for a little bit. For people who don't know, my dad's military. He's retired, a veteran there. But he was active at the time, and we could go on the Arsenal and go to the PX. And so we would go. There was one particular time when he first moved into the apartment, and he, my little brother and I, we went over there and stayed with him, and we went on the PX. And he didn't tell us at the time because we hadn't gotten to his house yet that weekend, but he was like, I want you guys to know, surprise, I got a PlayStation. We're like, oh, yeah! I'm super excited because this was around middle school, and I was in middle school, and all my friends were talking about these different games that were going on. Like, oh, I'm playing this game, that game on the PlayStation. I'm like, what is this PlayStation? You know, my copy of EGM hadn't come in yet. So yeah, I didn't know what this PlayStation was. And so he's like, yeah, we got a PlayStation. I'm like, oh my God, I can talk with my friends at school about this now. It's like, so he took us to the PX and he's like, you can choose one game.
Oh.
Each one of you can choose one game you can pick for the PlayStation. And so my little brother, he was young, so we kind of picked a game for him. We found Spyro the Dragon.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say Spyro. You were like, he's kind of young, I go Spyro. He bought Spyro. Spoiler alert, it was Spyro, everybody. What a great game, by the way.
Spyro was fun.
I mean, it may have been kid game, but that was a good game.
Spyro's game.
I definitely
played. You excited for the Reignited remaster?
I think I am. I'm actually considering picking it up. I'm like, I know that I shouldn't, and I know that I probably won't play it, but I feel stupid not getting it. Like, I want to have it.
It'll still be there.
Yeah, I'm going to end up picking it up.
My dad, being the military guy that he was, picked up Medal of Honor.
Nice.
Then my first foray into kind of first-person shooters. I love Medal of Honor. Medal of Honor is fun.
It's a good game.
It sucks kind of where it went, especially with Call of Duty and whatnot, but I love especially the older Medal of Honors. And I picked up one game. Before I tell the story, quick guess, what game was it?
Jeez, oh, I don't know, Rick.
Come on, think about me. If you know it in Twitch chat, you can shout it out too. This is going to be an easy guess. Think about Cameron. What game did I pick?
I don't know. Final Fantasy VII.
Yes. Say. Okay. Final Fantasy. I was looking at the case, and I saw, like, oh, this is a look at that game. It's got like 3 discs. Whoa! Yeah, this is cool.
That was a big deal, wasn't it?
And I remember a bunch of my friends, they were like, Final Fantasy VII, blah, 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 blah. It's so good, da, da, da. And this, I'm like, I want that one. and so that was my first experience getting, as far as gift giving, with PlayStation and first Final Fantasy I ever played. And the rest is history. say it there. I got that game, and this was like, around this weekend, the next weekend after that, my dad was getting promoted. And so we had family and friends come in, and a bunch of them, I remember specifically, everyone was in his apartment. They were all in the chairs, everybody, like friends, family, whatnot, all these adults talking and whatnot. They could not watch the TV because I was sitting cross-legged in front of the TV at Cosmo Canyon on Final Fantasy VII playing the game, and they couldn't kick me off. I'm like, I have to keep playing. The game is so good. Give me the strategy guide. But that's one of my first stories.
Cool. Actually, Chuck in chat has a story regarding Final Fantasy VII. He said, my most memorable game gift was Final Fantasy VII. My family always celebrates on Christmas Eve together, and one of my aunts bought me Final Fantasy VII. My response was, thanks, but I do not own a PlayStation. She apologized, and we moved on with presents. Christmas morning, I opened up a PlayStation console for my mom. That is so funny. That happened a bunch to my wife, too. Like, every Christmas that we spend at my in-laws or whatever, it's always a story that her youngest brother, Brian, had the same problem. Every year, he would end up opening a game for the console he was about to get and be like, oh, I know what I'm getting now.
Spoilers!
Oh my god.
That's good. That's a good one. I like that one.
That was good.
What else you got?
So I also remember making one of my more poor decisions where we ended up with a Sega Saturn for my birthday. Ooh. And both
had like a good game.
Both consoles were out. The Sega Saturn and the PlayStation. And the guy at Kmart told us that the future was in the Sega Saturn. That if you really wanted to go further beyond, that the Sega Saturn was going to take you places that the PlayStation just couldn't even figure out.
Places like Sonic CD.
Yeah, yeah. So
it gave us.
Sonic Metal CD Sonic wasn't on it. No, Sonic CD was on the Sega CD. Sega Saturn.
Oh yeah.
Sega Saturn had some good games. It had the Panzer Dragoon. That was a big one. It had a lot of JRPGs on the console. It had, as far as Sonic games, it had nothing, basically. It had the Sonic 3D Blast,
okay,
like the more enhanced version of that game, and which I had, whatever. It had Knights. It had Knights.
Knights into Dreams.
Okay. And yeah. It also was the first console to have that, 3D ball trackpad controller or whatever, the idea of analog controls. The first analog controller was that stupid pad for the Sega Saturn. So yeah, I had it. I had that too. I had a Virtua Fighter, because everybody had Virtua Fighter and Sega Rally Championship. And yeah, so that was my birthday. I was like, oh yeah, the guy at Kmart seems like he knows what's up. I'm gonna go with that one. And
he didn't know what was
probably
up.
Not the greatest.
He wasn't hip.
I got maybe 2 years there. Probably about 2 years worth of use out of it. And I was like, I need a PlayStation. This isn't cutting it, Mom and Dad. I'm gonna need a PlayStation. Like, hook me up.
Yeah, I'm gonna need you.
Yeah, to go ahead. I'm afraid that I don't have a job because I'm still like 11, but you're gonna need to get me a console because all my friends are passing me by here and I've got the wrong one. I bought the wrong one.
Keeping up with the Joneses there.
It was bad. It was bad.
Another memorable gift that I got. It is a very interesting story. Okay, so the Nintendo Wii was the hot thing. It was coming out.
It was. I remember that being out in the cold.
We.
That was terrible. I know, but this is what you come to expect, and you're welcome, everyone in chat.
I remember I had no initial plans to get it, just because, you know, young in high school, didn't have money.
Yeah.
Yeah. What, you know, we didn't have jobs and whatnot. So my good friend and I were driving around one evening. It's the eve of the Wii. And when the next day it's going to come out, and we see, my mom had already been talking, like asking me like, what should we get my brother Julian for his, for Christmas and whatnot. And I'm like, oh, he likes games. The Wii's coming out. I'm like, you know, she's been pondering the idea. Mm-hmm, like, it's going to be hard to find. So we're driving down the main road and we pass by Best Buy.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps. It reminds both of us like, oh yeah, the Wii's coming out. And just on a complete off the cuff, just comment. We're like, man, you want to go wait for one? Yeah. So I kid you not, this is late afternoon, moving into evening time frame before the Wii launches.
Right.
If you remember how big the Wii launch was, everybody was super excited.
It was big.
We drove 30 minutes back home. I go to my mom and like, we want to go wait for the Wii, and had to like spend some time to pitch to her, let's get it for my brother. Whereas like, I want to play it too, but let's get it for Julian for Christmas. And she eventually says, okay, fine. Hands me your credit card and we go take it. We pack up his car with a bunch of like chairs and stuff and get like jackets and clothes and whatnot. And we drive back up to Best Buy and we'll go wait in line overnight for the Nintendo Wii. Somehow we still made it back and we were like fifth or sixth in line.
Nice.
There were a couple of people. The first group in line was a husband and son combo. They had a tent already put up.
Mm-hmm.
It normally doesn't get cold around here in North Alabama. It was cold this night.
It was cold in Florida, yo. So I can only imagine how cold it was there, because we were cold. My sister and I waiting for the Wii.
I had on 2 pairs of pants, 2 pairs of socks, 3 shirts, 2 jackets, a blanket, sitting in a fold-out chair with my friend out in there. I was basically from like here down to my knees were completely bundled up, had like a little hat to keep my ears warm and a scarf. And we're sitting there like, oh yeah, this is gonna be great. It's so awesome. It's so freaking cold.
It's one of them badges of honor that you wear around as a gamer. You're like, there was that time. Remember those days?
It was so cold. We stood there all night. We kind of slept on and off, but I think we were young enough. We basically kind of stayed up through the entire day.
Oh yeah.
I remember getting up, like, they come out, because this is, for people who don't know, this is back in the day when the Best Buys and the stores didn't open at midnight. They opened at, like, 7 or 8 the next day.
Yeah, yeah.
Whenever they're normal, they maybe open an hour early for you.
Yep.
But they came out, like, an hour before they were going to open. They told everybody, we've got X amount of consoles, we're going to pass out tickets. If you don't get a ticket, tough luck.
Where was this at? Best Buy?
Best Buy.
Yeah, Target did the same thing.
Yep. And so, luckily, we were like, okay, we're totally fine. They had like 30-ish systems.
Yeah, same.
And it sucked so bad for everybody past 30 because the line went all the way down. And for people in North Alabama, you know, like it went all the way down Best Buy to the extra little building beside it and like started wrapping around.
Mm-hmm.
And all those people got like, boop. Wow. We know you waited all night, but tough luck. Get out of here. And then, of course, they had this little tailored where you'd walk in and they basically kept you on this path.
Yeah.
What games do you want? What accessories do you want? Da, da, da. And we have your console waiting for you at the front. I remember getting up when we got the ticket. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get something to eat or drink. There's a gas station right next to the Best Buy. I couldn't even walk. I could barely walk to the gas station because I was wrapped up to my knees, but from my knees down did not have enough protection.
Oh,
so
no.
My legs were frozen. Oh, I could barely, I couldn't feel my legs. I'm like walking across the parking lot like, oh God, I'm going to fall. Something's going to happen. But we got the Wii.
Hey.
We, I brought it back to mom. She wrapped it. We couldn't play with it until Christmas, of course, because it was my brother's system.
We did not do that. Everything about your story, I'm like, this tip for tat. You know, I'm checking the boxes. I go, yep, we had tickets at ours. Yep, they came out and gave them. Yep, we left and went and got breakfast. Then we came back and they had started another line. And we come back with our tickets and we're just like, just so you guys know, none of you are walking out of here with a weed. If you want to stick around, go ahead. But, you know, you should have probably figured it out when you showed up and you were the first person in line that you probably had it wrong.
But, my legs were frozen all the way up until we got home, and I dunked them into, like, a hot bath before I went to sleep during that day. But, I remember playing Wii Sports with my little brother on Christmas Day. It was a blast. A whole lot of fun.
Good times.
Shout out to Game with Weezer. Shout out to him. We see you in chat there, buddy. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Indeed, indeed. So the last story for me. Okay. Last story. One more story, right? So this one's a bit different, right? So this is another Christmas story. I was still under the impression at this age that Santa Claus was a real deal, right?
He is real.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I went to bed, you know, everything was fine. Got up, had to get something to drink, right? Come out, and Santa had left a computer for my dad to set up, and my dad knows nothing about computers. So I come out, and there's a light on in, like, our front family room, like that obligatory family room we all had as a kid that nobody was allowed to go in and do anything.
Of course.
A light on out there, so obviously, you know, I'm gonna catch Santa in the act. I come around. Dad is completely naked except for tighty whities. And he's just sitting there, like, hands just being run through his hair. You know what I mean? Just, like, totally stressed out. And I'm like, Dad? And he's like, would you come over here, please, and help me with this? So that way we can give this to your sister in the morning for Christmas. And I'm like, move over. You know, because I had taken some computer classes in middle school or whatever, you know? So, sixth grade. So I'm like, get out of here. So we start installing programs and stuff so that way there's stuff to play the following morning for Christmas.
Wow.
And it was so funny. And the reason I bring that one up is, you know, thinking back, my parents always used to get us the bottom of the basement computer. You know what I mean? It was always the, like, most garbage piece of cheap nonsense plastic computer you could come up with. And it was always like, this is all we can afford. Make it work. And because of that, that is probably one of the single driving forces as far as where I am in my, like, technological journey here.
Yeah.
Because I was always forced to figure it out. I was in charge of making sure that the computer was always running. So if there was a game that we wanted to play that didn't work, or there was a program that we needed to install that wouldn't work, or there was some piece of hardware that would break that we would need to fix, it was always Chris. It was always Chris. You got to figure this out. This is all we got. It's just one cheap piece of plastic. You got to make it work for us.
Okay.
And it's so funny because it's just like looking back on that, like, you know, it was definitely one of those moments where it was like, if it hadn't been for those years of my life dealing with those, I wouldn't know what I was doing right now in terms of computers. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I would have no idea how to install a graphics card or what a driver is or any of that kind of stuff. So I'm thankful to have gone through the heck that I went through to make some of those things work, because it made me a better, more technologically rounded person.
You go through the crucible.
Absolutely.
Come out a better person. My last story, let me think. I had it in my brain, everyone, and I lost it. Okay, no, I remember now. Okay, so one year as I got older, one of my gaming gifts that I got was from me to me, because I was old enough. I had my own job. I was like, oh yeah, I can do my own stuff. So I kind of told my family, like, you don't really have to get me too much, maybe some clothes or something like that, or something small. Don't worry about it. I'm going to get my own stuff. So right around, like, tax-free weekend here in Alabama, maybe in September, I had this mission. I was going to build my own PC, and this is one of the times I'm going to build it for the first times, like, on my own. It's been a super long time since I was a kid. And so what I did was that each week I would get money from my paycheck for my job, and then I would go in and buy the piece, get it shipped here, it's in the corner.
Okay.
And that took a lot of willpower. I'm definitely going to say that. Like, oh,
you are a brave soul.
But it was my Christmas present. So I'm like, okay, we'll do it. Get it. Okay, cool. Got all the parts. Got everything ready to go. Pretty nice system. Christmas Day comes around, and I was so happy. Got to wake up like Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. And so like late Christmas Eve, I finally said, awesome. Here's my gift to me from me. I'm going to do this. Put the entire PC together. Took a couple of hours sitting at my table in my room. Got it put together. Everything's great. I'm like, I can't wait to fire this bad boy up. Hit that power button. What?
That doesn't sound like the sound it was supposed to make, Cameron.
It wasn't the sound it was supposed to make. Nothing happened. Nothing came up. I'm like, what's going on? So after like the 2 or 3 hours it took me to build this computer, I proceed to spend the next 3 to 4 hours figuring out what is wrong with my system. This is supposed to be my Christmas gift. I'm supposed to, like Christmas Day, I'm supposed to sit in my underwear and play this. The heck out of this. What's happening? What ends up happening is that after the first couple hours of troubleshooting. I come to find out that the, for people who don't know, you're not tech savvy, on a processor, a CPU, usually when you purchase them, they have a cooler that comes on it. The cooler usually has what's called this thermal paste. It's this gray paste that kind of helps keeps the heat and dissipates the heat for the processor, especially when you're doing intensive tasks. The thermal paste that was on the processor was utter garbage. It was like a light dab of thermal paste, and the processor wasn't getting cooled nearly enough to actually run. So I'm sitting here like early Christmas morning. I can't use my computer at all. And I can't go to Best Buy until...
Just keep talking. Okay. Don't pay attention to that.
What happened here.
Don't mind me.
I had to wait until the day after Christmas to go get thermal paste. But here's the other problem. I had to work the next day during that evening after Best Buy had already opened. So I had to go out and get the thermal paste, then go to work. Then basically by the time I got off work, because I worked a late shift that day, was at home and went straight to bed. So it was like 2 extra days after I was so excited to get ready to play this PC before I actually was able to open my PC up again, put the thermal paste on there, praised God that it powered up this time and I could install the operating system, then spend more hours installing the operating system, get ready to finally...
Right. Now, wait a minute. So thermal paste was keeping it from, like, booting, though? Why was it heating up that bad that fast?
I have no idea, Chris.
That's insane.
But as soon as I got the thermal paste, I never had a problem with it after the fact.
Wow, that's so weird.
It was so... Because it was the only thing I could think of, and I was just like, thermal paste looks kind of pretty light. I didn't see that before. I'll just go get the more thermal paste, and it worked.
I'm glad that it worked.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sad that it took that to fix it, but... That's just crazy. You wouldn't think that would have been such a... I mean, you would think it would have crashed, right? You would think it would have crashed. There's no way you were installing the operating system. It would have crashed.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised that it crashed, like, seconds after turning it on. Like, that just seems like it would have been a component more than a thermal issue. Computers are hard, man.
They're hard, but I figured it out. I got my computer, like, 3 or 4 days before I wanted it. After I wanted it, so... That was kind of torture those 3 days. Like, what's wrong? I'm like literally in a panic. What is wrong with my computer? I just bought all these parts. I spent like $1,500.
My anxiety goes into overdrive when I have those issues. I am a hot mess. I've taken years off of my life from those issues. No doubt.
But I think that's it. That's all of our gaming gift stories.
I mean, I've had many, many gaming gifts, but you know. I gotta save some stories for other times.
We only have approximately 60 to 90 minutes to actually do this podcast. So that means that's end of the show, guys. Thank you so much, everybody listening via audio services, as well as everybody tuning in via Twitch over at twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive for joining us this evening. Make sure you rate and review us on your podcast service of choice, or if you are watching via Twitch here, make sure you click that heart up at the top of your screen so you know when we're going live. Become a follower here at Rocket Punch. If you are tuning in via Twitch, make sure you're checking our event schedule here on our page at twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive. You'll see all the games and events we got going on. We got an extra bonus round stream for you this week, so you don't want to miss that. And also, go to rocketpunchgo.com. That's going to be your place to find our podcast, to find all of the content, streams, and everything that we do. That's where you want to be each and every day to see what new stuff we roll out. And as well, if you want to help support us, head over to patreon.com/rocketpunch. That's where you want to be at. Any final words for ourselves and the audience here?
Just thanks, everybody, for the warm happy birthday wishes.
Okay.
Totes appreciate.
Yes, happy birthday. I would sing, but you don't like that, so.
Thanks.
That's your birthday gift, is I'm not going to sing happy birthday.
I appreciate it. That's a great gift.
But everybody else should. Make sure you tweet at RealCTGaming and sing happy birthday to him. That'll be great. He'll love it. That's all the words I've got. Thanks so much for joining us, guys. We'll see you next time.